Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. You're listening to Bibi Aisha Lahir on Youth Talk on our new time slot every Saturday now between 10 and 11 a.m. Today, however, we're starting with a very, very serious topic. As Muslims, we are, or we should be, ready to meet our Creator at any time, at any moment. And the reason for me choosing this particular topic, which is the death and burial of a Muslim, is first and foremost a reminder to myself and to all our beloved listeners from Radio Islam International and Sirius FM. And also, this is a plea to our, to the parents that are listening and to the youth that are listening. I want you to remember this, that Malikul Maut can come to you and I at any time. And to our beloved youth, this is what I want you to take into, I want you to take into consideration, that when Malikul Maut comes to you, do you want to be in a state of intoxication? Do you want to be drugged out in a nightclub? Do you want to be indulging in zina? Do you want to be gambling? Do you want to be full of drugs? And that is how you are going to meet Malikul Maut, and that is how you're going to meet your Creator. So the purpose of this program, The Death and Burial of a Muslim, is a gentle reminder for myself, for all our listeners, and a plea for our youth to say that live a life in such a manner that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be pleased with us. Live a life in such a manner that when it is time for you to meet your Creator, that inshallah, Allah will be pleased with you to say that my servant was engaged in an act where my servant was helping humanity, where my servant was doing something to please me. Not that my servant was doing something in such a state where my servant was approached, where he was in a shameful manner. So inshallah, may Allah grant us the hidayat, the ilm and the taqwa to lead lives that will make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pleased with us. My guest speaker for today is Maulana Arshad Fakir Chabdat from Marlborough. He's also the principal of Madrasa Muaz bin Jabal in Crosby, and inshallah he's going to be taking us to the steps of kafan, of burial, of etiquettes of a mayat, and any other information that you would like to know regarding funerals, mayat, and the etiquette of a mayat. Inshallah, this is going to be the platform where we will be covering as much content as we can. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Maulana Arshad Fakir Chabdat.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
It's a pleasure having you on air. I know it's a topic that makes many people feel uncomfortable, but it's a topic that we as Muslims need to be reminded of. And inshallah, when it comes, and we all obviously faced with death in our lives, loved ones passing on for us in our preparation for death. How can we empower our youth? You know, many of our youth, sometimes they attend private schools. It may be a bit difficult for them to attend madrasa. They may not cover this content. You know, maybe if they are not available to go to madrasa. Or sometimes also we know this. We just need to be reminded.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Jazakallah, sister, for having me on your program. First and foremost, as we know, as you made mention, that death is something which will come to every person. You know, someone very beautifully has said that when a person comes into this world, already he's coming with a death sentence. Mm-hmm. So we're walking with a death sentence that any time we'll be called upon and we'll have to leave this world. There are those who come and are born, sometimes they live for an hour, some live for a day, some 3 days, 4 days, some a year, some less. But at the end of the day, there is no age restriction to death, and everybody one day will have to meet his Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mm-hmm. Yes, as you said that now, the main question is more, one is how, first is the preparation of death from our side, that how prepared are we to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mm-hmm. And like you've made mention, and because it's a youth program, and we'll touch on certain things that maybe the youth are normally involved in, mm-hmm. but for us to realize, for the youth as well as the elders, that are we happy to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such a way where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not be happy to meet us? Mm-hmm. Meaning that we find our situation in such a place, like, you know, they say the wrong time at the wrong place.
Yes.
You mentioned in your opening statements with regard to, you want to be in a club, Mm-hmm. Or do a person wants to be in the movie theater, or does a person want to be leaving this world and prior to that just listening to some music, etc., or watching some TV program or some movie or something which is not appropriate as well, not permissible as well. Mm-hmm. And in that way, if death comes upon a person, then how are we going to face our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
Sure.
I think it is the statement of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala or someone's statement, that as the first, that a person will die according to how he lived his life, and a person will be resurrected according to how he has passed on. So that is very important, that we need to prepare for death, and that is why it is said that, you know, taking like how Ramadan comes, mm-hmm. and it is mentioned that a person has joy at the time of iftar. Or it could mean at the time when Eid comes, then there's a certain joy. It is mentioned, and the other is meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That a person should be able to live his life like how he lived in Ramadan. That Allah consciousness we have in the month of Ramadan. That a sister who maybe doesn't cover her head will cover her head in the month of Ramadan. A person who is not performing salah out of Ramadan will perform salah in Ramadan. A person who is not performing Quran or who is not reciting Quran out of Ramadan, you will find he'll attach himself to the Quran in the month of Ramadan. A person who may be doing some wrong out of Ramadan, he'll stay away and change that bad habit into something good in the month of Ramadan.
Mm-hmm.
So if a person loves his life according to how you should do it in Ramadan, then when a person meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will be a day of Eid for him. It will be a day of enjoyment for him, mm-hmm. where he is happy to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy to meet him. See?
No, definitely. Inshallah, may Allah grant us that faith in him, that when we meet our Creator, inshallah, it will be in a manner where Allah will be pleased with us, inshallah. Walana, when we spoke in the week about the content that we were going to cover, and I mentioned that when it comes to sudden death, obviously it's very shocking to a family, but just this bit of guidance for our youth. I mean, say if they're living with their grandparents, or maybe even a parent who is ill, or maybe a sibling who's very, very ill, what are the physical signs that they should look out for, knowing that this is the time now that this person is going to be leaving the world?
She's just a very important question, and this is something that we, you know, everybody, like you say, goes through it sometime or the other. And one aspect is obviously sudden death, which that when it takes or comes upon anybody, it's more difficult to handle, because, you know, they say it's something sudden.
Yeah.
The person was well, he left for work in the morning, he was smiling, he said he will come back, and suddenly I got a call, or someone receives a call to say, you know what, your husband, your father, or your son, or your brother, or your sister, whoever it may be, has just passed on. He may have had a heart attack, or he may have met up in an accident,
mm-hmm.
And you know, that is very difficult for a person to handle. We make dua that Allah protect us from sudden death. Actually, there's a dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us, mm-hmm. and the meaning of which is that we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for protection from sudden death. Allah forbid that we go through it. It's not an easy thing. But nevertheless, every person, Allah knows when a person will pass away, and where he's going to pass away, and in what condition he's going to pass away, so that we leave in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
Now, yes, the aspect that we're discussing in the question you pose is that if a person, we find somebody is ill, or somebody is very old, or somebody is towards his end, now, what there are certain signs of death which become visible. In Islam, in Arabic terminology, in fiqh, we discuss this, and it is known as the muhtabar. The one, it refers to a person on whom the signs of death are visible. Now, what we need to do first and foremost, how to assist the muhtadar, how to assist the person upon whom the signs of death are visible.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, it is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to let him or her to lie on their right side facing the Qibla. It is also permissible that he is positioned. Again, all this we need to understand that it is not, we should not do it in such a manner that if it's going to cause some type of difficulty, if it is going to cause some type of taklif to the person who is now at his last, then we should not change the position. We should leave it according to how he is.
Yes.
But to the best of our ability, if we can, then this is the steps we should do. Or it is permissible that he or her, he or she is positioned to lie on their back with their feet towards of their fibula, and their head slightly raised with a pillow or a cushion so that their head may face the fibula. Also, we must try to keep that the bed linen must be clean and pure, fast, and it is desired to burn some type of incense, some type of put some itar in the room, some type of bukhur, etc., and to keep the room fragrant, because this is the time where the person, the angels of death, the malakul maut, the angels of death will be coming and will be extracting the soul, and obviously it must be a good environment for them to come in as well. You know, normally, yes, it is that if there's any, we normally say that if there's any women in the room who is experiencing her haiz or nifas, then normally people ask the woman to leave the room. Again, because of her being impure at that particular moment. However, this is a very sensitive issue. Mm-hmm. And we find that many a times people do not know how to handle this. And, you know, I mean, it could be a person's husband.
Yes.
It could be a person's father. Mm-hmm. It could be a person's mother. It could be the brother. I mean, some close family member who's going through the stages. It is your last with them. And every person will desire they want to be there. Mm-hmm. So it must not be that, you know, we become so, that, you know, we've seen the situation that there are certain people who don't understand how to handle this. They will actually go up in front of everyone who is in the room, and they will go to the lady or the women folk and say, are you parked today? Do you have your haid? Are you going through experiencing your menses? If you are, please move out. Now, I mean, that it's not the right attitude.
Very insensitive.
That is for a person. Gee, this is for a person to understand herself if she feels, but if not, it doesn't mean that, you know, the person must be now taken out of the room, and she can just stand in the corner of the room.
Yes.
Don't stand by the head side of the person who is experiencing, or the muhtadar, the person who the signs of death are visible. Stand on the side somewhere, but do not make it an issue, because there are differences of opinion, in fact, with regard to it, that whether a woman who is in menses, can she be there in the room, or she cannot be in the room, and there are differences of opinion with it. However, it's best that, you know, we don't become so, you know, that we, you know, they say we don't have a heart, and then it becomes a family problem. Mm-hmm. Later on, you know, you start breaking family ties because of how you handle the situation.
Yes, yes.
And at that moment, yes, a pious person, if there is someone pious in a room, alhamdulillah, somebody who can draw the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and at that time recite Quran, etc., and to give some type of comfort to the person who's experiencing these last moments.
Maulana, physical signs that we spoke about, you know, for just like a reminder for, again, like I said, for myself
among
and the listeners.
Among the signs, sister, is that the person who is on his last, you find that his breath starts quickening, he breathes quicker, you know, faster, and the knees become so weak that they cannot even move. At times it is mentioned the nose becomes bent, the temples subside. So these are few signs that people witness that you'll see at the time if someone is passing on. These signs will be visible on the person who death is visible upon.
Brother, if you could please discuss with us, when it comes to now the person has passed on, obviously people are emotional, what would be the next step? I know obviously it would be ghusl. How do we go about with the ghusl?
Mark, can we just maybe before we just rewind a bit, maybe it's an important aspect I thought we can touch on, is that at the time when the signs are visible, we spoke about the signs.
Yes.
We spoke about how you should put the person who is now towards his last. But
yes,
what those of us who are present in the room or present in the place, what should we do?
Yes.
Maybe just touch on that, inshallah.
Sure.
One is we should try to recite Surah Yasin, recite also at the head side. I remember when my late father, as well as my mother, was on her last, and I called one of my senior ustads of Darul Ulum Zakaria, Mawlana Suleiman Choksi, hafizahullah, a very senior alim, and he gave me some comforting words, and also he told me that recite excessively near the ear, one is Surah Yasin is being recited, but recite excessively as well Surah Mulk, Tabarak Alladhi Biyadihi Al-Mulk, and also recite the Surah Ra'ad, the beginning verses of Surah Ra'ad, which is in at the 6th ruku, the 13th juz, and also do talqeen. Now what is talqeen? Talqeen is to remind the dying person of the two shahadats. In the hadith, come laqinu mawtakum. Make talqeen for those who are passing on. Meaning, remind them. Now, talqin does not mean that you should not command. You should remind. And how is this done? Mm-hmm. That a person should himself, or those in the room, themselves should recite the shahadatain, the salima, the shahada, loud enough so that the person who is on his last moments can hear it, and he also recites it, and he also repeats it. But there's just one point here which we can maybe just transgress for a small moment. In order for us to remember at the time of death our kalima, mm-hmm. it is that we have to remember it while we are living as well.
Yes.
When we are healthy and wealthy, at that moment, if we must take our time on a daily basis to renew our iman, la ilaha illallah, we recite the shahada, recite durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, recite the azkar that we are taught, the tasbih, the tahleel, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, the takbir, Allahu akbar, etc. This has to be, you know, on our lips continuously. Mm-hmm. If a person brings this on his lips continuously while he is well, then the time when he hasn't got much control of himself, that moment this will automatically come out. It is just like we say a sponge, mm-hmm. which you put it into the water, mm-hmm. and then you're going to remove it and you're going to squeeze it out, that whatever is in that bucket, whether if it is coloring water red in color, and you're going to squeeze it, you're going to get that red colored water coming out.
Yes.
You're not going to get blue colored water. Similarly, if you're going to feed your soul these type of azkar, if you're going to be prepared, you're going to be reciting Quran regularly, you make it a habit in your life, then at the time of death, you will find that you will be reciting Quran and leaving this world. Allahu Akbar. What a beautiful sign. May Allah bless us all.
Amen.
If you are constantly in sajda, you know, normally I was speaking to the kids that other day in madrasa, and I asked them generally that where would you like to pass away?
Mm-hmm.
So some those who are acquainted more with the Haramain, etc., they said, you know, we would like to pass away in Makkah or Medina.
Sure.
And then I said, but we need to live our life in order for like that, in order for us to like the people of Makkah and Medina, meaning who? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba. We have to live our life like them, and then inshallah we will be able to be blessed with the death in Makkah and Medina. We cannot be one to follow Bollywood and Hollywood and living our lives in theaters and all the time in front of TV, and then expect, you know, that we're just going to die. Yes, everything is in the hands of Allah.
Yeah.
Allah knows our condition. We don't judge anybody. But the reality of the matter is what you put in will come out.
Yes.
So similarly, in order for us to, at the time of death, to remember the kalima and remember the shahada, is that we need to do it when we are fit, we are well. And inshallah, on the time when we live in this world, that will be uttered from our tongue. And, you know, there's so many incidents where we read of our pious predecessors, we read of people who are passing away, and what joy it brings to the heart when you hear that, you know what, I was sitting with my father or my mother or this particular alim or that person or whoever it may be, this youngster, and when he was passing away, he was reciting Quran, he was reciting وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدَّا, and he was reciting certain ayahs of Surah Yasin or Tabarak or whatever, and while he was reciting this, there his eyes closed. Alhamdulillah, what a beautiful death. May Allah bless us all with such a death. So
Ameen.
It is important that we actually encourage and we recite the kalima loud, in an audible voice, so that the person who is passing away, he can hear it. We don't command, because why? It is mentioned, the ulama makes mention, if you command the person, say, read the kalima, and the person refuses, and then he passes away, it is as if he has passed away on kufr. You are negating, you are not. So it's very important that we don't order at that moment, but we ourselves raise our voices so that will come to the ear of the person who is passing away, and inshallah he will recite the kalima. And once he has recited the kalima, then we stop any other discussion and we continue reciting Quran. But if for some reason the person has discussed something worldly thing, we don't stop him, he's saying something, we listen to him, and then again we start reciting the kalima again. Let it be that the last words be that which comes out and is uttered from the mouth of the person who is passing away is the kalima or some type of ayat, etc., of the Quran al-Kareem, inshallah.
Mm-hmm.
Once, if after person now has passed away, as you said now, what should we do? First and foremost, we should his mouth should be kept closed by fastening, or the person passing away, the mouth should be kept closed by fastening a piece of a pure material, tahir, clean cloth under his chin and over his head to keep it closed, as they say. Mm-hmm. His eyelids should be closed very gently if possible. If not, then do not force it. Both the feet should be straightened and tied together with some clean, pure tahir material, and the body should be covered with a tahir, clean sheet. It is makruh. Now, this is important. As much as we say that we need to recite, we recite and say an isal al-sawab, etc. Mm-hmm. But it is makruh to recite Quran near the deceased before the ghusl has been given in the very same room. If a person wants to recite, then go in another room and recite the Quran there. And obviously, this is what should be done. Mm-hmm. And the immediate family members of, start preparing for the funeral. Very important. We find that nowadays it's becoming lax because of, I guess, social media.
Yes,
we are so
yes.
used to having WhatsApp and Alhamdulillah, we've got Radio Islam.
Yes. I just need to interrupt you there for a few minutes. We're going to break for adverts, and when we return, inshallah, we will discuss the ghusl, the burial, and obviously the etiquette of a mayat, inshallah.
No problem.
26652.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. You are back with me, Bibi Aisha Lahey, on Youth Talk. And today we're talking about the ghusl and burial of a Muslim with my guest, Maulana Arshad Fakir Chabdat from Marlborough. Just before the break, we spoke about when a person is at his last, the recitals that should be made, and now we're going to continue with the ghusl process, the etiquettes of a ghusl for a mayat. Maulana Arshad, if you could please lead us.
This we mentioned, we just before the advert break, we spoke about what should be done. So first and foremost, previously in the old days, we find that many people used to go back to their phone books and start phoning the family members.
Yes.
Unfortunately, today's time, we find that many a times close relatives don't get to know of your funeral because we think that they're going to receive the WhatsApp, or they are listening to Radio Islam,
yes,
or Channel Islam, or whatever it may be. What we need to do is somebody still needs to take the responsibility of informing family members that so-and-so has passed on.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, very important is that somebody in the home need to know what's regard to the important documents, because at that moment everybody's emotional. You know, your the mother, the father, whoever may be, is in her, on her last or his last, and you know, there's certain documents that you need in order to proceed for the ghusl, etc.
Yes.
And that is, for example, the ID copy, and so you need to keep this document ready and phone, most important, the burial society of your area.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sister, I know we've got a lot to cover, but something very important, unfortunately, we find in our society today,
yes,
is that we don't give much regard to these people. And the only time we really then take one day help is when someone passes away.
Mm-hmm.
But let me tell you, and really we make dua to all those brothers and sisters, wherever they are, in any part of the world, and who does this work of the burial. That is a thankless job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a person passes away 2 o'clock in the morning, and what do? We phone brother so-and-so,
mm-hmm,
my mother has passed away. Maybe we meet the man every day in the masjid. We will not even make salam with him. We just bypass the man. We see him at the funeral, sometimes they're screaming, brothers, come quick, the janazah has to be performed, the janazah is waiting. We think, you know, these people are just making noise again.
Yes.
But we only appreciate them the day when we have a funeral in our own home. That how these people come in and they take over those responsibilities which are of us supposed to do. They come forward, they take it up, and they take it off our shoulders.
Yes,
and you know, they do it. Very important is you give them the documents. They know what they need.
Yes.
They get the death certificate. They get it signed by the doctor. They need to do the fingerprints. All they know, all these things. Some of them are registered, and someone has to be registered in order to do this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we find that they know what is to be done. And you know, if a person doesn't do all that, and he decides he's going to bury his, they're going to do it on their own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's against the law of the country as well.
Yes.
So the body could be exhumed. So it's important that these type of you know, we thank
follow
these people,
these
make dua for them.
Course, yes. Definitely.
Definitely, you know, as I said, it's a thankless job, and I feel that every community should at least once in a while call out the community and in front of the community thank these people, award them with something, because they are doing it all only for the pleasure of Allah, lillah fillah, and it is all on a voluntarily basis. Majority of the time, there are very few organizations who pay the people to do it, and the others are all in every locality it is done. You know, they say say gratis, free, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
But still acknowledge their efforts, of course, because I mean, they're available 24-7, literally.
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
Yes, definitely. And even, Allah reward them in abundance, inshallah.
Amen. And even now, they will obtain the burial order, etc. Now you need to prepare for the ghusl.
Mm-hmm.
Very important, if there was a funeral, and if they tell you that, no, this particular funeral, we have to go to a post-mortem.
Mm-hmm.
And do not be, say, no, why am I going to, they're going to cut my father's stomach and my mother's stomach and look at what's going to happen. And, you know, we don't want to do this post-mortem. Can't we bypass it? Do not do that. We are living in a country. There are certain laws we need to follow.
Mm-hmm.
We have known there is a funeral that we know of that people were buried. And they did not do the post-mortem. Later on, the authorities came. They had to dig up the grave again.
Mm.
Imagine after burying somebody after 2 days or 3 days or 4 days or whatever it may be, and now you have to re-dig up their grave.
Yes, it's very, very traumatic.
And their body.
Yes.
You know, that is
that
one
is
of the most
worse.
Frightening. You know, I don't think I can even bear to see it.
Yes.
So we don't want that to happen to the mayor. Rather do it. It will take a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
But if certain things has to be done according to governmental rules, let that take place.
Yes.
Now coming to the ghusl.
Mm-hmm.
First and foremost, the ghusl has to be done, and you call the people in the area. Most of the time, they know what to do at the time of ghusl. If it is a male, and again, who should do the ghusl? You know,
yes,
this is always
yes.
the time that.
Well, and I need to ask you something as well, right? Often we hear this. You know, sometimes some of us have been involved in the ghusl of a mayit,
mm-hmm.
and you hear the elders saying, please. You know, handle the body gently because they can feel. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So when
basically,
it comes to the temperature of the water
of
and handling the body.
Yes. So you don't cause, as you said, no difficulty should be caused to the mayat.
Yes.
Likewise, it is comes in the books of fiqh as well that the water we use, for
mm.
example,
mm.
we don't use so hot water. You say, no, but the person has passed on, is nothing. No, there is some type of feeling that Allah, how and what is in the knowledge of Allah.
Mm-hmm.
But what they say, use that type of water that the person who's living will want to use it. So you don't use boiling water, nor do you use also very, very cold water. So lukewarm water that normally a person generally uses to take the ghusl.
Yes.
So now, who should be the family close? Obviously, the immediate family members are there, and they should be participate in the ghusl.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you will get some, if there's a pious person, Allah-fearing person, alhamdulillah, that is very good. It's again drawing the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let him be part of it. But it is important that the close family members be part of the ghusl.
Mm-hmm.
It's there today, many a times you find, and you know, recently there was a funeral as well, prominent family, but there's about 3-4 women only who was prepared to do the ghusl.
Mm-hmm.
The other members said, no, we'll stand behind, you carry on. Nobody wants to be part of it. We have to be part. I mean,
yes.
Tomorrow it's going to be us lying there and someone else has to give us ghusl.
Definitely. And
Mulana,
another question as well is, again, you know, like you brought up the issue of haid. I mean, when haid happens, it's natural. It's a natural process. It just comes. What happens then if a woman's mum passes away or if a woman's sister passes away? She's in a state of haid. They're doing the ghusl. What happens?
You see, generally the masala is a person who's experiencing the haid and she shouldn't participate in the ghusl physically, obviously. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But again, looking at the situation, speak to the ulama in your area. If that woman is there, can they not chase her out? Obviously, it's her own mother.
Mm-hmm.
She can obviously assist. How can she assist? Passing something across, giving the towel, giving this. You know what I mean? So this type of thing, it's a very emotional
yes.
moment. We
yes.
don't overplay things and then we regret for life.
Yes.
So, you know, so let us be careful of how we handle the situation. Each area, got the ulama, first consult. That's the most important. Consult with your local ulama, see what they say, and again, handle it in a good situation.
Mm-hmm.
Coming back to the point that help with the ghusl, our family members should be there to assist with regard to the ghusl. It must not be that, you know what, just do the ghusl and
mm-hmm.
I'll be standing behind. That's not the right manner of doing it, but we should actually participate. And there's a hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam,
mm-hmm.
Subhanallah, Ibn Majah, Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala is a narrator of the hadith, that whoever gives ghusl to the deceased, and then shrouds the body, and he perfumes it, and carries it, and reads janazah salah over it, and does not spread anything bad which he sees, will be forgiven of his sins as if he were born as a newborn baby. Subhanallah. So there's great reward. So there's a reward in giving the ghusl. Don't think that it is part of a ritual. And you know, one is that we're fulfilling the rights of the deceased. But look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi Sallam says that there's a reward for us as well. Subhanallah, we are all with sin. Imagine participating with this niyyah that, oh Allah, I'm going. I'm a sinful servant. I'm going to participate in this ghusl. I'm going to be part of it. I will see that the kafan, etc. is done. I'll be part of that. And then, obviously, for the menfolk to carry the janazah right up to the graveyard, perform the salah, bury it, and then return. Subhanallah, Allah, I'm only doing this because of the hadith of your Nabi alayhi salam, that I will be forgiven. Oh Allah, forgive us. Subhanallah. What an easy way of receiving the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Most definitely. Most definitely. Subhanallah. Well, another next step. What do we do after the ghusl? The mayat is brought back home. A lot of times there's confusion and drama, lots of times unnecessary drama regarding who sits in the room, who is allowed to do this, what should we read. Obviously when they're picking up the mayat, you're not allowed to cry, you're not allowed to do this, you're not allowed to do this. Let's just please clear all these misconceptions and please guide us moving forward.
Continuing now, the ghusl has been done. So now the janaza now will be obviously brought normally to the home. You put it in a room. If it is a female, a male especially as well, put it in such a room where the immediate female members, those who the mayat was in mahram for, they should sit in that room. Now I know amongst us it's a very touchy issue, as you mentioned.
Yes.
You know, because I know how many times we were involved in funerals, own family members becoming upset with us when we're telling them the masala. And you know, the thing is, because we live in a society where we know we take our cousins as our brothers and our cousins, our sisters. Alhamdulillah, there's no, you know, I mean, we are close in it. When we are small, we grow up together. But when there's a certain time in life where there has to be a barrier, further has to be take place, etc. So now, even when a person passes away, it is only permissible for the mahram women folk of the deceased male to see his face. They are, for example, his wife, his mother, his grandmothers, both, like you say, the dadi, the nani, his sisters, his aunts, his boys, and his khanas, daughters and granddaughters. Besides this, the Sharia does not allow any other woman to view the face of the deceased male. Similarly, only the mahram male should view the face of the deceased female. So it's important that, you know, sometimes the people know, I grew up with him, he was like a brother to me. You know, so many years I know him, I have to be there. At that moment, even if the man did not maybe practice parda during his life, but at least when he's passing away, at least let us fulfill some command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descend upon this person who has left this world. So it's important that we make mention of this, and we are prepared that if someone passes away, we can't just go to every person just wants to go and see somebody else's, you know, someone else's husband. Yes, the other females in the home, they will sit in other rooms, and most important, they will recite Quran, etc. You're not going there for, you know, this is what is regarded as a part of the mayat, which is known as ta'ziyah. You are sending your condolences. You are coming there to comfort those who have passed on. And this is a great sunnah of Nabi alayhi salam. It is two separate aspects. I just read about it when I was preparing to say one is the sunnah and the importance of fulfilling the rights of one of our fellow Muslims is participating in the janazah, etc. So one is going for the janazah, salah, the ghusl, etc. and burial. Then more that is separate is ta'ziyah, before the burial, to go and meet the family members, to console them, to make dua for them, you know, to share in the grief and lighten the burden, etc. Likewise, after the funeral as well, you go for the ta'ziyah. It's also regarded as ta'ziyah and consolement, which we'll touch later on, whether how many days and all those things. But what I'm saying is, this is what is normally done in the room. If those who are present, recite Quran. Don't sit there and talk. Recite Quran. When you are tired, you can move away. Someone else can come and sit. You don't burden yourself also that now, you know, and we don't lose ourselves. We don't lose ourselves. Sharia guides us in every aspect. When a person loses his son, I mean, we don't wail, we don't cry. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam lost his son. Someone seen him shedding some tears. So he said, oh, Nabi of Allah, you are crying. He says, that is the rahmat and the mercy that Allah has placed in my heart. Something to this effect.
But Mawlana, I need to ask you something. This is from my part, I'm asking you this. Say your mother passes away, your husband, your brother, your child. You're going to be emotional, like you say. Sometimes, you know, that crying can be a little bit loud for a bit. And then you'll hear people say, don't cry, you're making it hard for them. Please just give us some clarity on this.
Yes, again.
We're human. We are human.
Yes, definitely. Again, we are taught and we guided in the hadith, as I mentioned, that we don't raise our voices when we are crying, etc.
Mm-hmm.
But now sometimes it, involuntarily it does happen. Because, I mean, you know, it's only when you lose somebody you're able to understand this.
Yes.
When it's your own father there, when it is your own mother there, then you find that sometimes you think that, hey, how did I do this? You know, I mean, normally I'm such a calm person.
Mm-hmm.
But it only hits you sometimes then. So, more difficult, I mean, I Allah forbid, Allah protect us. It's not easy maybe for a mother or for a father, you know, to see them burying their own children.
Of course.
You know, we often hear of this. It's not easy. You know, sometimes you speak to the old people and they say, "Not I have buried 5 of my children and I'm still living."
Mm.
You hear them actually saying that, "I wish I could go in his place." But again, that is taqdeer. We don't wish whatever Allah has kept for us. Inshallah, we accept it. It is the taqdeer of Allah which takes place. But nevertheless, now a person cries. Yes, we who are around, it's important that we know how to talk.
Mm-hmm.
We don't hurt the feeling of the next person. You know, imagine, there's an incident in the books of hadith.
Mm-hmm.
We know that one of the arch enemies of Islam was Abu Jahl.
Yes.
And he was killed in the Battle of Badr.
Mm-hmm.
He was sent to dispatched to Jahannam in the Battle of Badr. Now, when Nabi alayhi salatu was salam came and conquered Mecca regarding Fath Mecca, at that moment, his daughter-in-law, she remained behind in Mecca and she came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She accepted Islam. But her husband, Alqamah, he decides to abandon and he's now running away from Mecca, going almost into Jeddah and will take a ship and move on. And she's telling Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is what's happening. Nabi alayhi salam says, no, go and tell him he must come back. I give guarantee. I give him security. Imagine that arch enemy of Islam, his son. Nabi alayhi salatu, she says about the Nabi of Allah, what guarantee? He's going to ask me for something. Nabi alayhi salam takes out his amama, if I'm not mistaken, his turban, and he gives it to her as a sign to say, dear, I have given this. So Nabi, he comes back. When he's coming to Mecca, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informs the sahaba who are present to not talk ill about his father in front of him. For you will not maybe change the destiny of the dead, but you will cause harm to those who are living.
Yes.
Subhanallah. You know, so from here, you don't, number one, don't speak ill about the person who has passed away. We always speak good about, we only remember the good things of those who have passed away. Don't remember the bad and speak about it in front of the family members. It will cause hurt. Similarly, don't hurt them and speak to them in such a manner that they become now upset. They are emotional. Yes, we try our best to keep them, console them, comfort them. But if you find that, you know, they are becoming hysterical, then maybe also take them nicely out of the room. No, come out. It's too hot for you. We find many people, how many times we have to call in the doctor because people are fainting.
Yes.
They cannot take it because of the situation. So yes, important point you brought up, sister, is that we do it in a amicable manner and in a good fashion. We don't just go and blurt out things and then cause more difficulty on the person who is already grieving and a person who has already lost some loved member.
As emotional as it is, it's emotional and difficult for everybody, and showing sensitivity at that time is very important. It's also a very it's an act of virtue that we must, inshallah, try and practice.
Inshallah.
We have a few more minutes. If we can talk a little bit about the burial. When I mean burial, bury as soon as possible. Am I correct?
Okay.
Bury in the place where the person has passed away. Am I correct?
Come again?
Okay. Bury as soon as possible.
Yes.
And just for an example, say if a person is from a particular place. Say, for example, I live in Johannesburg. I went to Durban on a holiday. Okay, maybe Durban's not that far. Maybe I went somewhere further. I passed away there. What happens?
Yes. Oh, okay. It's basically a person who traveled international, or
someone who's traveled, a musafir,
foreigners, which is very common. Yes, very important.
Or sometimes also somebody passes away, obviously elderly person or family member or youth in an accident. The person needs to be buried because that's the bigger picture. That's the important thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then people may say, "No, wait. The sister's coming from overseas, or this person's coming from there." What do you do in a situation like that?
Yes, again, sister, you know what, first and foremost, we are guided in the hadith of Nabi alayhi salam that you don't delay in certain things. One of them is that when a person passes away and the body is ready to be buried, then you as quick as possible you bury the mayit. Mm-hmm. It's important that you bury it as quick as possible. If a person was an Allah-fearing, good person, then the abode is waiting for him, take him quickly. Mm-hmm. And if he was a bad person, Allah forbid, then get him off, you know, they say get rid of him from your shoulders and push him away. But nevertheless, it is important that we bury as quick as possible. And this is what we learn from the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And yes, it can be done.
Yes.
I'll give you a personal example. I not out of pride, but you know, it just brings joy that Alhamdulillah, we managed to do it. I lost my mom maybe approximately, I can't even remember the years, but nevertheless, and she passed away in the evening. It was 8 o'clock, and most of the family members were around. And we called the burial committee, and we said, "How long will it take for you to bury, to dig the grave?" Mm-hmm. And it was said, "You know, it will take 2.5 hours." So we said, "No problem. Let's give and take 11 o'clock at night." Many people said, "No, it's too late. There are some people still have to come. Let's do it in the morning." I said, "No ways. We are going to bury immediately. Inshallah, this is we're going to follow on this command of Nabi alayhi salam." Mm-hmm. And Alhamdulillah, it was buried as quick as possible. It can be done. So it again depends. Number one, you need to get, again, as I said, liaise with the burial committee.
Mm-hmm.
Then can it be possible? Today we find in certain places where people want to rebury in certain graves.
Yes.
And you know what? There it will take some time because they will have to redig the cover. They cannot use a grader or something to. You're going to have to dig it by with the help of a few men.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's not easy. So there it could take up to 6-7 hours just to dig the grave.
Mm-hmm.
So again, you need to be prepared for these things. If you know the person is at his end and you he's made wasiyah that he needs to be buried here or there or whatever it may be, consult again with your ulama. Consult with your local ulama and see that can we carry on with it or should we bury them somewhere close or whatever the situation may be, and then take it from there. But as quick as possible, set out the time and make it that, you know, yes, sometimes you have a loved one who's not very far away. He may already left. Then you know what? You don't want to give more difficulty. But if it is that the person has to take a 9-hour flight and from here then got another transit, you don't do that. You give him taklif, as they said, difficulty to the mayyat. Bury it and inshallah the person will come. And you know what? He'll go over it, inshallah.
That's true. I mean, the dua's reach the person anyway.
Yeah, sometimes the person is, you know what, he knows that so-and-so is sick, or she knows, and she had the time to come.
Yeah.
But ask, you know, she thought it's just going to continue.
Yeah.
Years pass by, and they don't phone, they don't come.
Yeah.
Now suddenly, no, that was my first cousin.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have to delay the entire funeral procession because of so-and-so wanted to come, whereas when
That's
the person
true.
Was loving,
that
we didn't have time for the person.
Definitely.
So,
Malala, we're going to, unfortunately, we need to end off. We've come to the end of our program, but inshallah, either next week or the week after, you and I will liaise in the week, inshallah. We definitely will continue because we still have many, many, many aspects to cover. We're going to cover what goes on in the Qabristan, the mayat, the mourning period, and all other aspects relating to death and burial of a Muslim. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you in abundance for the sterling work that you are doing in empowering and educating our youth and the people in your community. May Allah reward you, inshallah.
Ameen.
Jazakumullah. And Jazakumullah khairan to our beloved listeners for tuning in. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our efforts, inshallah. And for myself and my sound engineer, Hanzala Hafiji, we wish you, inshallah, a blessed week ahead. And until we meet again next week, Saturday, inshallah, on Youth Talk with me, Bibi Aisha Lahir. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.